The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God, in love. Hello, TSV family. I'm Remy Echo, co-host of your favorite podcast, where we speak the truth that is the Word of God in love. Today we'll be doing things a little bit differently. Rather than our regular episode which you're used to, we'll be looking back at our first season together. And this will be done in two parts. I'll be leading part one, and my brother, the Reverend Wally Harris III, will host the second part next week. Before I share some of the highlights of season one, I want to use this opportunity to sincerely thank you, our faithful listeners. Can you believe we're 33 episodes in? Wow. Only by His grace, I tell you. So, on behalf of my co-host and my humble self, thank you for making us your favorite podcast. And most importantly, thank you for your prayers. We're grateful for all your support. We truly are. All right, let's get into it. To kick us off, here's a segment from episode 4 titled God's Sovereignty Over Gender and Skin Color, led by the Reverend.
You cannot disconnect gender from sexuality. I think a lot of people attempt to do that as well. You can't disconnect them. The enemy has attempted to do that and has even used governments, ours included, and the church to do so. God created male and female so intentionally that every part of our physical beings, our anthropological design, fits together with perfect harmony. When He commanded Adam and Eve, now joined in the marriage union, I think, Brother Arthur, you mentioned that. Genesis 2:23 says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's what Adam said when he saw Eve. Now joined in the marriage union, the Lord said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And when He said that, He was referring to, among other things, sexual intimacy that produces children according to His natural design and use for males and females in such a setting. And that setting, as I mentioned, is the marriage union. We are not talking about having children outside of wedlock. That's not the way we're operating here. So remember this, a male cannot reproduce offspring with a male. It can't happen. A female cannot produce offspring with a female. Both need the other to fulfill God's sovereign design for male, female, sexuality, and procreation. We need each other in order to do that. One last point here. I want to touch a little bit on gender distinction. If we listen to the modern view of gender and sexuality, it assumes that human beings get to determine it and thereby attempt to change it as they see fit. As mentioned, when God created man, He created man in His image. There are physical and physiological differences between the genders that makes us uniquely male and female and allows for procreation, which is part of God's design and plan. God was also specific when detailing in Deuteronomy 22:5 why it was an abomination to Him if the children of Israel did not make a distinction between the genders in how they dressed. You're not supposed to wear what a woman wears as a man. And you're not supposed to wear what a man wears as a woman. These distinctions are very clear to continue in the purpose and the plan that God has designed us and created us for. We are the creation. We are not the creator.
Come on.
So our God intentionally and uniquely created men and women in His image and for each other. And that any attempt to redefine the truth The verity of God's sovereign design for gender and sexuality is a complete rejection of God's authority and sovereignty and his perfect plan and purpose for humanity. And it doesn't matter who says it, where they say it. I don't care if it's in the great Ephesus of churches or from the Oval Office. Mm. None of that matters. Mm. If you are rejecting God's authority and sovereignty for his perfect plan and purpose for humanity, you are an enemy of God.
My brother can preach, y'all. I'm telling you. And such an in-time message, too. God is sovereign, period. He is in complete control of the universe. He is the creator. We are the created. Here are two scriptures in the Bible that confirm that verity. Starting off in 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Then in Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Yes, episode 4 was a very impactful conversation for sure. If you missed it, make sure to go back and listen. If you have already heard it, maybe you want to listen again for some fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit. For our next highlight, let's listen to a segment of another exciting discourse focused on the testing of a Christian's faith. This episode was led by yours truly.
What you mentioned, Brother Wally, it's still that same taking your eyes off yourself. That's how you are able to look at somebody else and want to bless them. Yes. That's how you're able to extend that giving in the place where you are supposed to be thinking about how you keep all you have. You're looking for how you give, you know, instead of receiving. So it's almost like you've switched the focus from, oh, I'm good. I already got what I want. Now let me bless somebody else. But I also brought in Job. I want to go to Job 23:10. Again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come out forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Again, that's Job 23 from verse 10 to verse 12. It's what we've been talking about when we take into remembrance who God is. You know, we remember how he has been there for us in the past. Another great person that did this also was David, right? In Psalms 42, where throughout the entire chapter, but the constant question that he kept asking, why, my soul, are you so dejected? You know, why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. That's Psalms 42, verse 11. He also repeated the exact same thing in verse 5. The Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He Amen. Changes not. Yes. So the same God that was able to get us through trial A will get us through trial Z. Right? It's the same God. He's still who he is. He's committed. He's faithful to loving us. So it's very important to keep track of those times when God has come true for us. It's important to have that history so that during the bad times, we can remember the good times to help us persevere. You know, another verse I want to use to encourage believers listening to us is 2 Corinthians 4, starting from the 7th verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Amen? So I just want to encourage the believers listening to us that trials are supposed to get us to run closer to him, to go deeper into him, and not to run away from him. That's the first thing the enemy likes to do, get us to look at him as the source of our trials and point accusing fingers, and then uses that to make us walk away. But if you're listening and you're a believer that walked away because of a trial, God is not the author of your trial, but he's the solution. So we encourage you to run to him.
Yeah, episode 3 was a very raw episode for me because my wife and I had a stillbirth a few months before that recording. You know, it may be hard for us to see or feel God's love when we go through trials, but I want to implore you to always trust his heart for you during those tough times. If you are going through any sort of trial right now, be encouraged by what Holy Spirit revealed to Apostle Paul in his letter to the Roman church, found in Romans 8, verse 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God is good, y'all. God is good all the time. In the valley or on the mountaintop, he is a good, good father. If you would like to better understand why trials are part of a Christian's life, or how do you count it all joy and miss trials, take a listen to episode 3. I believe there will be a word that will bless you. Okay. Our next episode was led by Otto Medina Jr., aka Wakanda, and was centered around reconciliation. Let's listen to this segment.
God has provided a way. But I think where most people miss it is that people do not understand or realize God desires a relationship with you. It gets overlooked. It gets taken for granted.
That's good. That's good.
God desires a relationship with you. A great example is in the Garden of Eden. Okay? When we take a look at what took place in the Garden of Eden, that's the fall had happened. They sinned. And what happened? You know, right away, they start blaming each other. Even Adam took that position. It's because of the woman you gave me, you know. But at the end, notice this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. I'll start there. Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Why is it, man, that today, rather than running to God, we run from God? But yet, even then, God, this is what I really want us all to just pay attention to and understand. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" God is saying to us right now, "Where are you? Where are you? I want to be in a relationship with you, man. I love you unconditionally.
Yes,
sir. I don't care about what you did. Okay, so be it. Let's move forward." And yet we choose to hide ourselves from him. And yet we choose to run from God. And then we give ourselves over into worse things that the enemy continues to whisper into our minds to go the opposite direction.
Right.
Thereby making our life even more miserable. And so moving forward, God says, and using the scripture that Remy used out of 2 Corinthians, it says, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ." So he's provided the way for us to be in that reconciliation and to have that relationship. And then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
What a blessing.
That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's trespasses against them. Mm-hmm. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Mm. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ.
That's right.
As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
Another in-time message, right? I want to pick up from where my brother left off. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we find this verity. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I feel like dancing. Christ has already provided a way for us to return to the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he told us this himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Not only has Christ reconciled us with the Father, but through his indwelling spirit, he can also help us to reconcile with our brothers and sisters, both within your nuclear and extended family, going in even into the church. One look at the current state of our natural world and we can clearly see that we seriously need to be reconciled with God. A verse that comes to mind here is 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land does need a lot of healing, y'all. Not just from the global pandemic, but from racism, greed, hatred, you name it. If you want to hear more of our conversation on reconciliation, that is episode 20. All right, our fourth episode to highlight is titled The Authority We Have as Believers in Jesus Christ and was led by the Reverend. This is such an essential knowledge for sons and daughters of God to have. Let's listen.
We must abide in Jesus. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we also receive the Holy Spirit, which is where our spiritual power comes from, as Brother Remy stated. There is a difference between authority and power, and Brother Remy also touched on this. Most people, believers and unbelievers alike, think they are synonymous, but they're not. Spiritual authority as given by God to believers in his Son is the right and privilege to exercise dominion over things in heaven and on earth. Spiritual power, as given by Holy Spirit, is the ability to exercise the dominion you have in the name of Jesus in heaven and on earth. Jesus was given his authority in the flesh from God our Father. We were given our authority by Jesus. There are several verses of scripture that proclaim this verity, specifically concerning our obtaining of this authority. However, I want to focus on two sets of scriptures respectively that affirms the fact that Jesus was given his authority from God our Father and that the authority we have comes from Jesus Christ. John 17, 1 through 2 in the King James. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him all power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In John 3:35 in the King James, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now, both of you all have touched on Matthew 28:18. There's a couple of other verses below that I want to touch on as well. We read in those three verses about Jesus giving authority to his believing disciples and also reinforcing our mission on the earth before he ascended into heaven. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And here's another set of scriptures of Jesus giving authority to those that believe. Luke 10, 19 through 20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The word power is used twice in verse 19, although the first power is translated in the original Greek authority. So behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In verse 20, we see that demonic spirits are subject to us when we are operating in our power and our authority. Earlier, as I followed my brothers in answering this question, I stated that Jesus was given his authority in the flesh from God our Father. The reason I made the distinction is because God the Son came in the flesh as Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God the Son has all authority as God. Jesus, as the Son of God, was given this authority by God our Father when he came into the flesh in the form of a servant.
Amen, amen, amen. TSV family, let's quickly look at two passages of scripture. First, Matthew 28, starting from the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's commonly referred to as the Great Commission. Now let's look at Mark chapter 16, starting from the 15th verse. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Those are the words of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To you, to me, to other brothers and sisters in the faith, how much of that authority have we, consciously or unconsciously, surrendered to the enemy of our souls? We need to take back our authority. Episode 13 was a great episode, and it also is part of a 3-episode series that the Reverend led. Other episodes in that series include preparing for spiritual battle and the weapons of our warfare. I encourage you to listen to those episodes and be refreshed with knowledge of your authority as a blood-bought, spirit-filled child of the Most High God. Ooh, I feel it. To conclude this first part of our look back at season 1, let's listen to the episode that closed out the season, episode 24, The Return of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 3, here are the words of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Yes, we family, we got wonderful news for you. Jesus Christ is coming back. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Now we've established that his return is imminent. But that is not a license for the church, for us believers in Jesus Christ, to just sit idly and wait for his return, right? Or for us to become timekeepers. You know, his return shouldn't motivate us to
put all our focus or attention on the political developments of this world, nor should it get us hysterical about current events and news headlines. Rather, it should cause us to direct our hearts towards him to be about kingdom work. So I'm going to come to Brother Otto, and I'm going to ask this question. What should we, believers in Jesus Christ, be doing in preparation for his imminent return?
What should we be doing in preparation for his return? I would say we just want to change the demographics of hell. You understand what I'm saying?
Come on.
That's how I like to say it. Wow. Let's change the demographics of hell. We can do that by a lot of these practical things that the Apostle Paul has pointed out for us in Thessalonians 5 and 1 Corinthians 15:58.
That should be our focus as we wait his return. Just tell people about the love of God. Just tell people that, you know what? This is where I found bread. This is where I found healing. Come, there is enough for you. God wants all to be saved.
Come on.
All of us. That's why he keeps on waiting. The scriptures we are reading and talking about, these are like 2,000 years ago.
Easy.
Yeah, so he could have come a long time ago and we wouldn't have been here. But he keeps on tarrying because it is not his desire for any to be lost. And where does that come now in this context? It is for us to now be the hands and feet of Jesus. To now step out into the world to let people know of his grace and mercy, to share his love. And I'm so grateful to God to allowing us to do that through the Spoken Verity podcast. If Christ returned today, would you be ready, Brother Wiley?
So let me add to this question a little something here that I have used in my raising and preparing my now adult children for living in this natural realm. This short, simple question proves you know the answer to the question being asked of you. So this is just for any question, right? Not just this one in particular. So your question is, if Christ returned today, would you be ready? Right after that, I'm going to add, how do you know? I have asked my children when they were younger, just as my parents asked me a separate question, how do you know you're saved? The same thing here. You have to know why you are who you are. If you don't know why, then it'll be others out here to try to tell you who you are.
Come on.
Even though someone else has told you and trained you and taught you, but you didn't know why. You never were able to actually practically apply it, to have it downloaded into your spirit. So when someone asks you, you are ready to give an answer. So, yes, I am ready. So your question was, would you be ready? Yes.
Amen. Amen.
I am ready.
Amen.
How do I know I'm ready?
Yeah.
The word of God.
Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is coming soon. That's good news, y'all. That's good news, TSV fam. But what should we, his bride, be doing while waiting for our bridegroom? Winning souls. That is the long and short of it. We should be sharing the gospel of our Christ. One passage of scripture the Reverend loves to share with us is the back half of Proverbs 11:30. He who wins souls is wise. Now, I already shared the Great Commission verses with you earlier. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have to partake in that work. The fact that we are assured a place in heaven shouldn't be a license for us to abandon the work God has called us to do. What about that family member that is not saved? What about your co-workers? What about people that are connected to you in maybe the business spaces? So let's be honest here. If you walked into your favorite restaurant and found that they were giving out free meals, you tell all your friends, right? You tell your cousins and your co-workers. Well, do the same thing here. share the gospel of our Christ. But please, please, TSV family, when you do so, do it in love. That is so important. This is what the Word of God says in Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, TSV family, thank you for joining me for this first half of our look back at season one. As I said earlier, next week, my brother, the Reverend, will be bringing the second half. You don't want to miss it. Let's close our time together in prayer. Spirit of the Living God, thank you for the Spoken Verity podcast. Thank you for our listeners. Thank you for the work you're doing in their lives. Thank you for the work you are doing in our lives, myself and my brothers, co-host of the Spoken Verity podcast. Thank you for the opportunity to be co-laborers with you. We are grateful. Holy Spirit, I lift up everyone listening now, in the past, and in the future, wherever they may be, whatever need they may have, I just commit them into your hands. You have all knowledge. You know how to minister to them. If what you have shared with us is how you do it, if it is sending anything, we just surrender it all to you. We don't direct you. We take directions from you. Have your way. Have your way, Spirit of the Living God. We lift up the Spoken Verity podcast to you now as a sacrifice. A pleasing sacrifice that you would breathe upon it, even as we come upon this new chapter. Let all of it be for your glory. None of us, all of you. Every time we step up to the mic, may it be less of us and more of you. We surrender our vocal cords, our faculties to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God. In love, all the blessings.